Good morning.
Good morning.
Peace and good tidings. Hope y'all are well. Jeff is not here with us today, as you probably have noticed, but we want to give you an opportunity to hear a few announcements that are going on, as well as receive some information about College Park if you're a guest with us. But more about that in just a moment. If you would, for our members and guests alike, there are pew pads there. If you would, if you haven't already, take the pew pads and kind of pass them down there so we can get information about who was here with us in worship this morning. We're delighted you're here. And if you're sitting on a row and you're a member and you notice there's a guest with you, if you would please extend an appropriate welcome to them. And I know you will do that. We have a couple announcements that are included on the back of your order of service. There's opportunities for the week this week. I think pretty much a regular schedule this afternoon, including the small group 30-day church challenge study group that will meet at 5 o'clock. If you're interested in that, the youth know about their schedule, so I don't think I need to make a note of that. But also on the inside there where it says upcoming events, there's a note about the book study, The Power of a Woman's Words, that's meeting. As well as, I know Jeff would want me to mention the prayer partner ministry. We've almost got all of our children and preschoolers and college students taken care of. So if you would, please, if you don't have a prayer partner yet, that's an awesome opportunity to get to know one of our students. So please help us with that and help them with that and help yourself with that, because it truly is a blessing to be part of that ministry. Our ushers now are going to begin toward the aisle, coming down the aisle. Do you have any announcements? No? All right. I think we're good then. They're going to come to the front. And what we would like to do is, if you're a guest with us, we don't want to embarrass you, but we do want to let you know that we are excited that you're here with us. And as they return back down the aisle, if you'll just kind of lift your hand just enough to where they can kind of see you there. They've got some information about the church that they'd like to pass on. Please take that, read that. There's also a survey in there. If you could help us with that, we'd appreciate that if you could return that to us. And again, members, notice where our guests are and be sure and welcome those who are guests with us today. This is the second Sunday in our 30-day church challenge. And the focus today is on the purpose of worship. And it's a blessing to come into God's house, and it's a blessing to worship together. So I pray that as you begin to prepare your heart for worship, that God would speak to you in a way that's very real, and that you would open your heart and your mind to Him, even as we begin now with our call to worship.
Lord, we come before you this morning to bless your name and to give you glory. Lord, we praise you this morning because you are our creator. Lord, we are nothing without you. Lord, we praise you because day after day after day, you are faithful to sustain us no matter the circumstance. No matter what's going on, Lord, you are with us. Lord, we praise you for giving your Son so that we might be able to be with you and to bless you forever. Lord, as we worship together this morning, let our worship, Lord, the way we sit, the way we stand, the way we sing, the way we listen, bring you glory. Lord, let us honor you this morning with our lips and our actions, but most especially, Lord, with our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hand has made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed.
The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world.
When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze.
By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, the starry host by the breath of all his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm.
And when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's great mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship.
When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, how, O God, how great thou art.
Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being."
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
I'd invite all the children, if they would, come on down for just a moment. Here you go, right here. Right here. And it's crisscross peanut butter and jelly. Peanut butter and jelly. That's
it. No,
but if it's crisscross peanut butter and jelly, then the peanut butter is stickier and it'll hold you to the floor. Yeah. We're going to have a new saying, crisscross peanut butter and jelly. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a birthday party?
Yes.
Yes? Yes. Who do you invite to your birthday parties?
Friends?
All your friends from preschool. Well, if you had a chance to invite someone famous to your birthday party, who would it be?
God.
He's pretty famous. Yeah. Who else? Think of somebody that maybe... Who? Your mom? Okay. Nancy Drew? Okay. Who else?
How about a tax collector?
A tax collector. Okay. They're famous. They are famous. They're probably not famous for the right reasons, though. Yeah, they're famous. If you had a chance to invite someone famous to be at your birthday party, who would it be? Your papa? Papa, did you hear that? Yeah, he wants you at his birthday party. That's right. Well, we like to invite our friends to birthday parties, don't we? It's good. It's good to have them at our parties. Jared, how would you like to be, how would you like to be beside God in heaven? It would be great, wouldn't it? Not in the next 5 minutes, but it would be great, right?
It will be great.
It will be great. And see, that's what we're talking about this morning. We're going to be talking about worship and what worship is. And worship is recognizing who God is and how great He is. See, we don't want to worship people. The only person we should worship is God, right? That's the only one that deserves our praise and our worship is God. So as you all grow up and get older and you start looking at different people and different celebrities and all that stuff, the temptation is to maybe worship other people. But remember this day when I said, God is the only person we need to worship, okay? It's okay to admire other people. It's okay to admire your pawpaw, but you need to worship God, okay? Fair enough? All right, let's pray together. Talk to God. Dear Father, we thank you for this day and these children. And we pray that as they grow, that we would continue to point them to you, that their praise and their worship would be directed to you, even as they admire and they have good role models here, Father. We know that they need to worship you and praise you just as we need to worship and praise you. Be with the parents who are raising these children and this whole church as we help point these children to you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can go back to your seats.
Paul, something tells me you heard that. Delightful, I love it. I invite you to join me as we read God's Word. Psalm 19, speaking of worship, a wonderful psalm of praise from David. He offers that to us today from the psalmist, the great King David. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from His pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless and innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Please join me as we go before the throne of God in prayer together. O gracious God, we thank you for the many ways that you express yourself to us. We thank you for the beautiful sunrise, reminding us that you are waiting there for us each morning to walk with us through the untouched and unlived day. We thank you for the hues and the beautiful sunset, your lullaby to us at night. Though darkness may gather in around us, we're reminded that your sun shines in our hearts all through the night. We thank you for the grandeur of the mountains, reminding us of your strength and creativity and power. We thank you for the vast ocean, reminding us of your majesty. reminding us there's no ending to your love. The consistency of the waves as they come up on the shore remind us that you are a consistent, forever God. You are always there for us. Thank you for the many ways you speak to us, but most of all, for the greatest way that you express your love to us is through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Thank you for sending your Son as a helpless infant to come to this earth, to live, to walk, and to teach of your love, and then to die for us, taking in himself the punishment for our sin, that we may be set free from ourselves, from our sorrow, from all the chains that bind us, that we may be set free. For it is true that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, precious Jesus. Thank you, Savior, for setting us free. Oh, Father, we thank you for the ways that you bless us that we are not even aware. We praise you in your holiness. We praise you. And one day we will know all of the ways that you touched our lives, that you provided for us, that you protected us and took care of us, all those ways which we cannot be aware of now. And we look forward to that time. And God, thank you for that eternal home that waits for us. Give us all we need to live out this earthly life, knowing that we have the surety of that eternal home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord, I thank you that I can be here. I thank you so much for this family, this brothers and sisters in Christ, that I can come and share and be here. So many times the circumstances and life just beats us down, and sometimes hope, that hope that we just sang about, is sometimes hard to find. But because we have you, and because of the people that minister to us and that we walk among, that means so much to us, that helps us to look back to your face and to come to worship you. It's hard to do that sometimes with all that I have within, as the song the choir sang, that we should worship you. But we thank you for those things that you have given us, and for your steadfast love, for the people that you surround us with, and for the love that they show that comes ultimately from you. I thank you for all the blessings of life and all the things that you have bestowed upon us. And we pray now that you will help us to share that with the rest of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your songs again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 1,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Worship Your holy
Your holy name.
I've always said that group would be pretty good if they'd just get rid of the drummer. And you see you see evidence of that this morning. So. What a blessing. What a great song. What a great text. You know, you really can't go wrong if you take scripture and put it to music, can you? I mean, it's really, really hard to mess that up. They did a beautiful job, and I appreciate them leading in worship. Wow. It is a great day. It's a good day to be together. It's a good day to worship together. This is the second week in our 30-day church challenge. Do you remember 2 weeks ago what that was? Thank you, choir. Now, if y'all could just respond in the manner that they're leading. It was back to church Sunday a couple weeks ago. And then last week, we learned that challenges are actually a good thing. You know, and I ask you to commit to attending the worship services for this 30-day church challenge period, as well as consider joining a small group. And I have an apology, because I was told at lunchtime that when I was mentioning the small groups, I forgot to mention our WMU circle groups. Shame on me. I forgot to mention our choirs. There's a lot of things I forgot to mention. Yeah, I know. Yeah. But what I did say is we have so many small groups that really we have something for everyone. And it's important to be a part of that. So I continue to challenge you to find a small group that you can be a part of, to fellowship together and get to know some people and begin to really get involved in the life of that group. The objective, if we could back up just for a minute, the objective of this whole 30-day church challenge is to discover and engage in the five purposes of the church that we talked about on Back to Church Sunday. They're outlined for us in Acts chapter 2, and we'll get to that in just a minute, but we're learning how we can take steps toward reaching the potential that God's given us personally, as well as a body of believers. And we're strengthening relationships with God and relationships with one another. I think we agree that at the end of the 30 days, we want to be transformational in our thinking about the church, not just viewing it as a place that we come to, but realizing that it's a vibrant family to which we belong. And Robert, thank you for your prayer and the acknowledgement of we're family and we take care of one another. We want not just to come to church, but we want to become the church. The church, a community of faith, powerful, inspirational, transformational, touching our community and reaching out beyond our community with the power of the gospel. That's what we want to do. That's the vision that we have for the next 30 days as we continue on. And today, as part of the challenge for the week, it's going to be related to worship. And our foundational passage for these 30 days has been Acts chapter 2. I mentioned that, but I want to read it again. Because the more you read this, the more you hear different things in the passage. It's Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42. And it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Members of the first church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the Lord's Supper, communion, and prayer. And as a result, it says that they were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. This week, we want to talk about the power of worship. Why is it, what is it, and why is it so important to us? We've talked a little bit with the children already, but you know, we see in Revelation chapter 4 kind of a snapshot of what's going around. And if you invited a friend to a birthday party, who would you want to invite? And one of them said, God. And we get a picture of what that could look like in Revelation chapter 4. If you want to turn with me at Revelation 4, and then a moment we'll be in Revelation 7. But in Revelation chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, we see a snapshot of worship in heaven. It says, whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and they say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And by your will, they were created and have their being." They're praising God. They're thanking God because he created all things and keep them going. You know, and I'm thankful for that we have a God not only that created us, but stays engaged in our life and keep things moving. Now, if you'll flip over to Revelation chapter 7, we get kind of another snapshot. In chapter 7, Revelation 7, verses 9 through 12, it says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.' All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" People from everywhere, every nation, every language are praising God because he saved them, because he created us, and because he saved us. And then you see, you have this picture of the angels chiming in, that apart from God, anything that's been done, you know, he has done it. All good things he has done. And he alone deserves praise just because of who he is. Because he's wise, he's powerful, he's strong, he's eternal. You see, the truth about human beings is this: we were made to give glory to our God. We were wired for worship. We were wired for worship. I have here in my hand my phone, my little iPhone, and I use it every day. I use it for a bunch of different things. You know, I text with it, but not while I'm driving. You know, I check my calendar. I email, I message, I get the weather. I use it as my GPS when I'm driving. I actually even make phone calls with it too. It will do that. It'll make phone calls, and it keeps me in line for my appointments. As long as I enter the information correctly, it will alert me when I have an appointment coming up. All right? So every time that this phone performs a task, it reflects well on Steve Jobs and the good people of Apple who designed it and manufactured it. See, a good creation reflects on their maker. And you say, okay, what's that got to do with us? Well, that's what worship is. Where good creations reflect well and give glory to our maker. And then on at least, hopefully weekly occasions, we come together to acknowledge our gratitude, not only individually, but corporately, for how God has made us and provided for us. The Bible's opening chapter says, God saw all that he made, and it was good. Good things give glory to the one who made them. They just can't help it. A cell phone is wired for communication. We are wired for worship. You see, but the God who made us would like our worship to go deeper than just giving him glory by doing whatever it is we do. He asked us to give glory by getting together with other members of the family on a regular basis. The last several pages of the book of Hebrews, you'll find a verse that may compete with your busy schedule, okay? I'll just warn you ahead of time. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Let us encourage one another. As we see the day. Now, what is the day? When it says the day, the day is, of course, I believe that it's the day of Christ's return. That's what they're talking about. As we see the day approaching, with every passing day, that day gets closer. And if you believe the hoopla about the Mayan calendar, it's only 82 days away. okay? So just mark it on your calendar. But the Bible says that it's good for us to meet together so that we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That's why we come together, to encourage one another, to spur one another on. As I'm doing sermon preparation, that's one of the things that's in the back of my mind. How can I encourage? How can I offer a challenge? How can I spur us on toward love and good deeds? We need that. We need that frequently. Because the second reason that worship is important is because God's will is for us to gather regularly, frequently. I believe that. Hebrews chapter 10 speaks to that. So say after me, here we go. Repeat this. Let us not give up, meeting together. All together. Let us not give up meeting together. Now the phrase meeting together is a Greek phrase, episunage. All right? Episunagoge. Now you say, what does that mean? Say it with me. Episunagoge. Episunagoge, all right? Now, what that means, the epi part means in or upon. And sunagoge sounds a lot like another Jewish word related to worship, synagogue. Yeah, episunagoge. So Hebrews 10, in effect, is saying then, let us not give up episunagogeing, meeting in the synagogue, or in our case, the church. Let us not give up meeting together because we need what meeting can do for us and because God deserves our praise and our worship. We need this. We need to get together because when we're here, we grow. When we're here, we give glory to God. And when we're not here, we're missed. And when you're not here, the body is not complete. You are missed. The Bible describes a lot of positive habits. Positive habits that give God glory. But in my opinion, gathering for weekly worship is the primary foundational habit because it's the one that resets our priorities. As Robert said in his prayer, you know, life happens. Stuff happens. And you need to reset your priorities. If you think about it, our lives, we are blitzed. We are absolutely blitzed with messages and input. If you suffer from input overload, welcome to the club. This is an election year. Welcome to the club. You know, in addition to all the political campaign and ads, we read books, we have magazines, we watch television shows, we listen to the radio while we're in the car, we listen to our iPods while we're exercising or doing yard work. And all of these inputs are telling us something about life. You know, if you watch WWF SmackDown or Survivor, you're taught how to win in life. They have a certain definition of what winning means. And if you watch The Real Housewives of New Jersey or the Kardashians, they're telling us what we ought to look like, how we dress like, and how we treat other people. Now, hopefully, you're not following any of the above examples. Okay? But the fact that that you've seen that stuff, it's a part. They do influence us. And on top of that, in the 1970s, you had the average American that experienced about 500 advertisements per day telling us what we deserve and what we should want. All right? Today, along with the old school things like television and magazines and billboards and radio, there are website banner ads that pop up, cell phone ads from Facebook, Google, Pinterest, Groupon, and all of those. So the number has accelerated from 1970 to now. We now are bombarded with almost 5,000 advertisements per day, many of which we don't even realize we've been exposed to, but our eyes, our ears, brain synapses, it's taking all of it in. It's processing all of that. And what it's causing is us to see God and the world through distorted vision. Our vision's just not quite right. So if that's the case, where do we reset? Where does our vision get corrected? Where are you going to remind you that you're not the center of the universe? Where are you going to remind you that the person that dies with the most toys is not necessarily the winner, you know? Or that the things that you buy, taste, try, and wear aren't going to necessarily make you happy? Where are you going to find out the truth? One answer, of course, is church. Because I believe at College Park we teach the truth. Understand, And this will come as a shock to some. God's not interested in your opinion. He's interested in your obedience. You, I, we are the creation. We are not the creator. We don't get to set the rules. We come together to learn the truth about God. And what an awesome privilege it is to come together. We come together to get reminded that this world doesn't revolve around us. We come together to find out that this is our Father's world. He made it. In church, the songs, the message, the people that you hang out with remind you that despite how you've been treated this week and despite how you've seen people treated, understand people matter to God. And we should be treating one another with respect and dignity. At church, you're reminded that you're significant and you're treasured and that God has good plans for you. Church reminds you that God has a purpose for every single person in this world. It reminds us that He wants us to contribute to them in a way that helps them to understand that character matters, that the Lord wants us to act with integrity and honesty and justice and love, joy, peace, patience, all of those things. You see, in my humble opinion, the most important decision you make every week is the decision to come to church, because at church we get our circuit breakers of our soul reset. Your priorities are repositioned, and your sense of what's true, what really is true, can be retuned to what's really right and excellent and worthwhile. So the challenge I will give you, I know you've been waiting for this, you just everything leading up to this. Okay, we'll get to the challenge. The challenge this week, again, is to commit to being here for the rest of this series. Every single Sunday, be right there where you are. Bring someone with you. Be right where you are. And see, hopefully it will stretch well beyond that, but what I want you to find out between now and the end of this series is coming every week changes who you are. You start to look forward to it. You want to be here. You're excited to be here. Being together, worshiping together. I want to also give you another challenge, and it's related to that one. I want to challenge you this week to do what Romans 12:1 says. Let me read it to you from the translation called The Message. Take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering, an act of worship. Romans 12 is like the hinge point of the book of Romans. For the first 12 chapters of Romans, the Apostle Paul describes all that God has done for us. You know, how we really weren't doing that well in life, and human beings were sinful, and so God sent His Son, Jesus, to come and deliver us. Okay, then Romans 3 talks about how salvation through Christ is a free gift, and Romans 4 says you can receive this gift by faith, and then Romans 5 through 7 describes the freedom that you can experience once you become part of God's family. And so for 11 and a half chapters, Paul expresses the amazing things that God does for His people. And then in verse 36 of chapter 11, he describes who God is. He says this, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out." And then in verse 1 of chapter 12, I'll read it from the NIV this time. You'll probably recognize it a little more. Therefore, because of everything that I've spent 11 chapters telling you, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Paul is saying, based on all the mercy that God has poured out on you, and because of who He is and what He's done for you, there is only one logical response. The Greek word for spiritual or reasonable at the end of this verse is logikon. And logikon is where we get our word logical from. You hear it? Logic. Logikon. So Paul is saying, in view of all that God has done, in view of who God is, The only logical response is to offer yourself in full worship of Him. It's the only logical response. And the way that you worship Him is to present your body as a living sacrifice to God. Now, it may be a little confusing to say, what's a living sacrifice? We understand the other kind of sacrifice. And see, that's the context. In Paul's day, the Jews still worshiped God by bringing a bull or a ram or a lamb to the altar there in the temple in Jerusalem. And they cut its throat and they placed the animal there on the altar as a sacrifice. The difference here for us is instead of being a dead sacrifice, our logical response to all that God has done for us is to become living sacrifices. We are walking around sacrifices that give God honor all day long. Some people think that worship only takes place in the church here on Sundays. Now, worship here, as we've already talked about, is very important. But from God's perspective, worship is more than this. Worship is a verb. It's not a noun describing a person, place, or thing. It is a verb. It describes an action that we should do with every breath you take. So in the morning when you wake up, what is your act of worship? Thank Him. Yeah, thank Him. Thank Him you woke up. Thank You, Lord, for another day. Thank You for the sunshine. Hoping it's shining somewhere. We may not be able to see it, but surely it's shining tomorrow. But thank Him for another day. When you get in your car, your spiritual act of worship when that guy cuts you off, well, you can kind of determine what that will be. At work, you can give glory to God by working hard, or you can drain a little glory by slacking off and doing shoddy work. If you're a student, you can give glory to God by the way that you treat your teachers and the way you do your housework. Excuse me, your homework. Maybe your housework. Do your homework. You know, or you can drain a little glory away from the altar by copying an attitude, doing your own thing. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do it with all your heart, as if you were working for the Lord and not a person. Working for the Lord. That's worship. Offering all that we are and all that we do to God. Parents, investing in your kids, raising them well, loving them, teaching them truth, reading to them great literature, the greatest of which is here, exposing them to things that they might excel at, and helping them to sort out how God has gifted them, you know, what they can be good at. You know, all of those can be acts of worship. Listen to it one more time from the message. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering, an act of worship. That's how we worship. So the challenge is to worship. We were made for it. God asked us to do it in view of who He is and all He's done for us. It's the least that we can do here on Sundays, here at church, and during the week with every aspect of our life. It's the only logical response. So repeat after me. This week I will go deeper in my worship than I ever have before. I will give Him glory in my work and glory in my home. I will attend a small group and share honestly, but not awkwardly. I will help the group become a better group. And I will help our church become a better church. By showing up next week and worshiping God in spirit and truth. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank You for this day, the gift of life that You've given us, the gift and promise of eternal life that You've given us through Jesus Christ. Dear Father, adjust our thinking, adjust our hearts, Father, so that we'll understand who You are and all that you've done for us, then make our response appropriate as we offer ourselves as living sacrifices to you, as we come together to worship you in spirit and in truth. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning, you're not a believer. That's step number one. Need to get the relationship right. So if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, we're going to stand and sing in just a moment. I'll be standing right here. I'd be glad to talk with you. I'd love to talk with you about your relationship with Christ. If you don't want to come down here, call me this week. But let's take care of this. Let's get together and talk about it. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I am a believer, but you know, I really haven't been offering myself as a living sacrifice. I really haven't made worship a priority in my life. Certainly, you can talk with God right where you're standing, where you're singing. Make that commitment there if you'd like to talk with me. Be glad to talk and pray with you as well. And if you're here and you say, boy, this is a great group of believers. It really is. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's a great group of believers. And if you'd like to be a part of that in, quote, an official capacity, there are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about it. But whatever your decision is, be honest with God and with yourself as we stand and sing together now. This morning, one of our senior ladies who had been sick for a long time, Norma Howard, this morning Norma was worshiping around the throne. She passed away this weekend, and the service will be for her tomorrow. It'll be at Vogler Funeral Home in the chapel. The visitation will be from 10 to 11:30, and then the service will be at 11:30 there in the chapel at Vogler's right here on Renolda. Okay? Be in prayer for the family. But certainly they understand, they know where their mama is and grandmama is, and they're delighted for her. But it's still hard, and you know that. You've lost loved ones too. So be in prayer for them and support them, as I know you will. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for the blessings again of the day that you've provided for us. We thank you for the warmth of the fellowship that we've enjoyed here. Father, we thank you for your truth as it's come through your word to show us how to be what you've created us to be. Now as we go, help us to put that into practice, drawing upon your strength and your power, even as we seek to give glory to you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.